I'm glad he used the word present because it's not going to be much of a preaching today. So I'm going to move this over here. So I need your guys' help today. I tend to start talking too fast. All right? So I'm going to set this here, and periodically, if I start talking too fast, you guys tell me, I'll stop and take a break. Okay? Well, you guys are quiet today. Very quiet, very quiet. That doesn't work well for me. I need a little more life here today, okay? All right. All right, so when I was thinking about when Steve asked me to cover and talk today, I was thinking about what to talk about, and I had a couple subjects in mind, and I just took a complete left turn on this, so I hope you'll bear with me. We've got 68 pages, we're going to get through it together. There will be an intermission, okay, so just remember about halfway through, so... Today I want to talk about the 4th of July. I just thought, what an opportunity. I don't get to talk very often like this, and with the holiday coming up, let's talk about the 4th of July. So, can that be a sermon? That remains to be seen. Hint, I don't think so. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. So, what I want to talk about today is how our nation was founded. So at the beginning, it's going to feel like a little bit of a history lesson. So a little bit of warning. You might want to get your pen and paper because there will be a test at the end. So be prepared for that. Pop quiz. Anyway, I wanted to talk this morning about with the 4th of July coming up. And as we prepare to celebrate that holiday, it's actually one of my favorite holidays. I don't usually get into those ones, you know, especially the ones that are created by the greeting card company, you know, Valentine's Day, Secretary's Day, Boss's Day, Grandparents' Day, my anniversary. Those are just not real holidays. I had her birthday in there too, but I took that out, so good guy knows when to quit, right? So, listen, I want to say to you that, and do you guys feel this way? Patriotism feels different today than it did 20, 30 years ago. It's a different world we live in. I remember growing up, and we said the Pledge of Allegiance every day in school, but and even going to a private school, we just didn't have a sense of patriotism. It was a different world then, and we've come together in a different way. Amen to that? Okay. Oh, wow. This is going to be long. Amen to that?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. I just don't remember the outward expressions of love for country that we see today. But as we get ready for the United States to celebrate a crucial moment in our history, the signing of the Declaration of Independence, we look at that event and we need to realize that each man who took on the decision to sign that was making a very dangerous decision. So let's start by taking a few minutes to look at the events that led up to this dangerous declaration and their responses. So in fact, it was John Adams, when he signed it, said this: whether we live or die, sink or swim, succeed or fail, I will stand behind this Declaration of Independence. And if God wills it, I am ready to die in order that this country might experience freedom. It was that kind of patriotism which led men, armed with little more than hunting rifles, to take on the greatest army on the face of the earth at that point in time in history. To take them on, square on, and fight them. This decision to declare their independence from England was not quickly or easily decided. Even though they lived in the colonies, we have to understand that they were still English citizens, and that they felt that they should be entitled to enjoy the rights and privileges that any freeborn Englishman enjoyed back in England, their brothers, cousins, family. After all, it was their ancestors who, a few centuries earlier, had risen up against an unjust and dictatorial King John, forcing him to sign the Magna Carta. This great charter established the rights of the common man and limited the powers of King John. But it wasn't too much longer that, fast forward a few years, just a few years later, King George began to ignore these rights of the common man that had been established in his rule and how he dealt with the American colonies. And it wasn't long until oppressive taxes and regulations were beginning to make their lives miserable. And we hear that genre a lot lately, don't we? Taxes and regulations making our lives a little bit more miserable. When the American colonies complained, King George sent troops to the colonies and declared martial law. Public protests were put down with great force, and dissenting voices were silenced. Even more laws were enacted, which these colonists strongly felt to be intolerable. Sometimes in the wake, these things got out of control, out of hand, especially in Boston, when one day a crowd was yelling at a tax collector, harassing him, really giving it to him. So in response, this tax collector decided to fire into the crowd. The bullet struck a young boy named Christopher Sider, who was only 11 years old, and it killed him. This was a spark that created what we have today. Another time, a squad of soldiers was trying to break up a crowd of tax protesters, and someone gave the command to fire. After the dust had settled, 5 of the protesters were killed. The news quickly spread about this Boston massacre. You can see the train coming, right? And then just 14 months before the Declaration of Independence was written, armed conflict actually broke out in the Battle of Lexington and Concord between the colonial Minutemen and the British regular army troops. On that day, casualties for both sides totaled 366, either killed or gravely wounded. But emboldened by what they considered a victory, the colonial militia then laid siege to Boston. 2 months later, this led to the Battle of the Bunker Hill. In this battle, the colonial militia lost 400 men in the battle, and their siege of Boston had ended. But I want to go to a different part of while this is going on, and hopefully this puts us in the mindset of what I want to communicate to you today. Meanwhile, while all this was happening, Patrick Henry, the first governor from Virginia, gave his famous speech before the Virginia Provincial Convention. So this morning, what I would like to do is just take and share with you some of the words that he concluded his speech with. Some you're familiar with, some you may not have heard before. As we go through this, I'd like you to consider this bold declaration that Patrick Henry made. Let's put it up there. 3 million people, armed in the holy cause of liberty and in such a country that we possess, are invincible by any force which our enemy can send against us. Besides, sir, we shall not fight our battle alone. There is a just God who presides over the destiny of nations, and who will rise up, friends, to fight our battle for us. The battle, sir, is not the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, the active, the brave. Besides, sir, it is not too late to retire from the contest. There is no retreat. But in submission and slavery, our chains are forged. Their clanking may be heard on the plains of Boston. Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace. But there is no peace. The war has actually begun, our brethren, are already on the field. Why stand here idle? Let's read this one together. What is that gentleman wish? What would they have? Is life so dear? Is peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. Let's read this one together, and this is how he concluded it. I know not what a course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Something powerful about reading that, isn't there? Amen? Amen. So many of our forefathers paid a terrible price in the Revolution War, but finally they won the victory so that you and I may be citizens of this land of the free and home of the brave. But this is the point I wanted to get to. But often we forget that in declaring their independence from England, our forefathers made an equally bold declaration of dependence upon Almighty God. That's what I said. They made a loud, clear declaration of a dependence on God. But we weren't the first nation to do that. At another crucial moment in history, as the people of Israel were preparing to enter the land that God had promised them, Moses told them. So let's read this together in Deuteronomy, shall we? When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise praise the Lord, your God, for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you not forget them. Next slide. And our founding fathers were careful to remember God. In the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, I want to put it up there so we can compare what their mindset was at that point in time. And this is the words that they put, our forefathers. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And then again, at the closing of the Declaration, they solemnly state, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, that's God's, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. In a time in a world of turmoil today, it is important that we remember this clear declaration of their dependence upon God. I think many of you would agree. It seems that strong efforts are being made not only to ignore, but even to eliminate any acknowledgement of the deep and abiding faith of our founding fathers and of the God who gave us nation its birth and in its greatness. I'm sure, like me, you all love hearing about Patrick Henry, George Washington, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, John Jay, and many of the other patriots who gave of themselves so valiantly, and what we now enjoy as our freedom that's become ours in this nation that we've just come to expect. But we also need to be reminded of the solemn warning God gave to another nation, Israel, when they too were experiencing the thrill of independence after centuries of slavery in Egypt. So although this was written almost 3,400 years before, this warning today, I think, is very applicable even to us here in the United States. We see in chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, beginning with verse 7, Moses told the people, how about we read this one together? Keep you engaged. Huh? For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. Land with streams and pools of water, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing. When you have eaten and you are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good he has given you. And he has given us good land, amen? So, let's continue on and look at the next verses in 11 through 14. Let's read that together. Beware lest when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you forget the Lord your God. That also sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? I just want to take a minute here and just focus on that and just read that again. And all you have is multiplied, and then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God. And all that he has given you. The testimony of history has made it abundantly clear that not only nations, but also individuals, every person hearing my voice today, that we need to heed that warning. The greatness of the nation is not measured by military power or national wealth. Now, I think we know that, but does the population at large know that? I question if they know that. But we know righteousness and justice are the determining factors of the greatness of this nation. Solomon, the wisest of men, said, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And what is happening in the United States today? To a great extent, our modern objectives have become success, status, and security. Success, status, and security. Now, this might be the part where I'd ask you to raise your hand if you can relate to one or more of those as your driving factor. Good, that was an IQ test, no hands. Just testing to see if you're still awake. I know this is a lot of information, so I appreciate you hanging with me, and it's really not 68 pages. You knew I was kidding, right? But we also know that those three things of status, success, and security are very closely followed by self-indulgence, comfort, and pleasure. And I'll be the first to raise my hand and say, I'm guilty of that, that becomes what's important to me, and I need to refocus. Which is why I felt strongly about bringing this to you today, because I'm talking to myself. So many a times we have sung songs, I've got to be free, we are free people, we just love our freedom. But sometimes it's that freedom that we proclaim that actually becomes the very thing that enslaves us. Can you imagine that? I want to say that again because it's something to really get your arms. It took me a while to really get my arms around it. But you know, that freedom that we have can eventually become the thing that enslaves us. Let's look in Titus 3, where Paul says, at one time we were foolish, disobedient, deceived, entangled by all kinds of passions and pleasure. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Sounds kind of familiar, right? Am I going too fast? Okay. Trying to get that nice pace. Let's take a break. Thank you. Let me say this. I'll give you some examples. We went out, if we were to go out on the street and we walk up to the wino, the homeless person, and we said, hey, I want to set you free from alcoholism. Why don't you give me that bottle? His response would probably be likely, I'm not a slave to anything, now give me my bottle back. Right? What about the prodigal son who came to his father and he declared, I want to be free. Give me what's mine, let me go and enjoy my freedom. So then he wandered off into the country, probably skipping along and singing, I'm free, I'm free. Just enjoying the moment, but we know that that freedom was very brief. His friends left him when his money ran out and he found that he was enslaved to a Gentile taskmaster. Eventually he was basically a slave to the hogs in the hog wallow. It was not until he came back to his father that we know he really found freedom. That was the moment. It wasn't the perceived inheritance and all the money and the ability to do whatever I want, whenever I want. That's what enslaved him. It was the freedom of returning to his father. So when we stand back and look at this land of the free, we begin to wonder, is there any real freedom anywhere? But thank God as Christians, we have a greater freedom than any constitution can grant us. We have the freedom that is offered in Christ Jesus. There is a word for freedom in the New Testament, and that word is redemption. We sing about it all the time. Redemption, it means to be set free, to truly fully enjoy that freedom, to really be broken of chains, not enslaved as the forefathers, as Patrick Henry talked about, but to truly be free at last. It means that we have been bought with a price, that we no longer experience bondage, and we can move about with true freedom. In Paul's letter to Titus, he tells us that we have been set free from bondage for sin. And he says, for the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. Jesus Christ gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness, and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. So in conclusion this morning, thank you for allowing me to go through this with you. And I just want to say that if you really are a patriot, as we get ready to celebrate the 4th of July, and if you're truly concerned about America, if you earnestly want God to bless her, then live a life of harmony with the will of God. Live in the harmony of his plan. And in only in doing that, can truthfully, we all have the right to sing this, and let's say it together. God bless America, the land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with foam, we sing God bless America, my home, sweet home. So as we celebrate this birth of our nation again coming up, I pray that our country might have a new birth of freedom. Not a freedom from God, but rather a freedom built on God and His commandments. Also, may each of us as individuals reaffirm our dependence, our individual dependence upon God, so that looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, we might experience the freedom that He gives not only from worry, doubt, and fear, but also from all those sins which do so easily beset us. Then, as did the founding fathers of our country, we will find Him in our life, our liberty, and our true happiness. And if you don't know Christ, the cornerstone of this freedom, Bill's going to share with you this morning how you can experience Him. So, thank you guys.
Thanks, Will. So you might be sitting out there thinking, what does all this have to do with me? And the thing I would say to that is nothing's really changed. Israel was constantly forgetting what God had done for them. And they just thought because they had this national heritage that they were good. The bad news is that God doesn't have any grandchildren. God seeks a personal relationship with each and every one of you. And if you haven't made that decision today, let me just say that, believe it or not, you're not free. The Bible tells us, Scripture, Paul tells us that we're a slave to what we serve. And it can either be Christ or that can be ourselves in sin. So you have a choice today to declare your dependence on Jesus Christ for your salvation. Now, if you haven't made that decision today, I'm talking to you this morning. If you would like to be truly free to serve God and to serve others and to love God and to know a peace you've never known, then I invite you to say a prayer along with me. And it's not this prayer that saves you. What saves you is coming into a right relationship with Jesus Christ, who paid our debt in full. Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But in Romans 6:23, it tells us the payment for that, the wages of that sin is death. But it also tells us that the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9, it says that if you believe, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, that you will be saved. So if you haven't made that decision, I invite you to bow your head right now and pray along with me. And if you have made that decision, I just want to ask you to pray for those around you that haven't, that God would reach out and touch them and break down any barriers this morning. Father, we come to you this morning. We declare our dependence on you, Father. If you haven't put your dependence in it, just pray along with me. Father, I know that I need you. I know that you died for my sin on that cross. And you, when you said it is finished, you took all my sin away. You died for me. I want to live for you now, Father. I want you to come into my life and be the Lord of my life. And I give myself to you. Now, while your heads are still bowed, if you prayed that prayer and you make a decision for Christ this morning, whatever feels comfortable, raise your hand, stand up, whatever. Just go ahead and do that right now. If you've made that decision for Christ to come into your life and be the Lord of your life, declare your dependence on Christ, just go ahead and raise your hand. Father, I thank you that everybody in this auditorium today, it looks like they have a right relationship with you, Father. It looks like they declared their dependence on you, Father. We praise your glorious name, and we just thank you for all of your love and your mercy. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Oh, wait, let's stand up and do that last song together.